Okay, today's daf is Bamatzia daf Samach Beis. We are holding on daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We were in the middle of discussing the difference between Ribbis Ketzutza and Ribbis Terabanan, and how the Mishnah had divided up into two parts. The first line of the Mishnah was about Ribbis Ketzutza, but then it moved away from Ribbis Daraisa, from Ribbis Ketzutza Daraisa, and started discussing Ribbis Terabanan. So today we're going to have a machlokas whether Ribbis Ketzutza is Yotze B'dayanim, that if a person pays Ribbis, and it's a standard definition of Ribbis Daraisa, can Dayanim be motzi it from him? He didn't isser, but is it a Dini Mamunus issue as well, that the Dayanim could make him pay back? The Gemara is going to have three different sources for the Shita that Ribbis Ketzutza is not Motzi B'dayanim, that you're not able to extract it through Beis Din. The Gemara is then going to tell us that they discuss the famous case of two people trapped in the desert and there's only enough water for one of them. So Machlokas Tanayim, what you do in such a situation if with the very limited water supply. The Gemara is also going to talk about returning a deceased father's Ribbis or Gezel. If the father had done bad things and he had either collected money by Ribbis or he had stolen money, so is it a chiyuv on the children to return that money that their father had taken by Ribbis or by Gezel? We're also going to talk about whether Ribbis is a lava nitak lasei. And then on the bottom of Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to have a rule. Rav Safra is going to formulate a rule to define what's Ribbis Ketzutza and what's only Avak Ribbis. We're going to have several challenges to that rule. And then Amud Beis is largely going to be dedicated to trying to figure out what exactly is happening in that complicated case in the Mishnah, where you gave somebody money, apparently, for chitim, and the chitim went up in value, and you needed wine instead of chitim, and he says he has wine, but he doesn't have wine, and he's going to supply you with wine. Some complicated case in the Mishnah. What exactly is happening in that case? We're going to have three different explanations of what exactly is going on in the case in the Mishnah. Abaye is going to have an explanation that Rav is going to challenge from four different places, but Abaye is from four different angles. But Abaye's explanation is going to introduce us to another concept called Ha'aramas Ribbis. So we're going to discuss a lot of the basics, a lot of the foundations. We're going to even touch on Ribbis Mucheres, Ribbis Mukdemes, a lot of the basics of Ribbis today. So anyway, we left off on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, and we are up to Amar Rabbi Lazar, about eight lines before the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ribbis Ketzutza Yotza B'dayanim. Avak Ribbis Eina Yotza B'dayanim. Rabbi Lazar holds, that one of the differences between Ribbis Ketzutza and Avak Ribbis is that Ribbis Ketzutza can be gotten by suing the person in court, by going to Beis Din, whereas Avak Ribbis is not Yotze B'dayanim. B'dayanim are not going to make a person pay for Avak Ribbis. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Ribbis Ketzutza Nami, Eina Yotze B'dayanim. Even Ribbis Ketzutza is not Yotze B'dayanim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my time is Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan think that Ribbis Ketzutza is not Yotze B'dayanim? The Amar Kra says, we're going to have three possibilities. Number one, the Amar Kra, B'neshech Nasan V'tar B'slakach V'chai Lo Yichya As Kol Tov V'se'e La Asa. So L'misa Nitam Lo Lishavon. So it's saying, V'chai, why does a person live? Lo Yichya, that he's not going to live. So we see L'misa Nitan, that a person who violates Ribbis, it's Ki'ilu is chayv misa, but it's not nitan lishavan. The way to rectify it is through his misa, it's not through hishavan, that there is no din of hashava on ribis. Second possibility, Ravada Brava Amar, Amakra, Al Tikach Meito, Neshach Vitarbis, via Resa Melokecha. Lamora nitan velo lishavan. It's given for Mora, but not for hishavan. That it's meant for Mora, but not for hishavan. From here, the Rivan quoted in Tosus and Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Rivan learns that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Ribbis Ketzutza is not Yotze B'dayanim, but at least Yechayev Latzei Sidei Shemayim. Meaning, that's what else does Lamora nitan mean? What does that mean? It's given over for Mora. In what sense is there supposed to be a sense of Mora on the Ribbis? Says the Rivan, in the sense that you should give it back, meaning midine shamayim, you should give it back. It's just not yotze b'dayanim. The dayanim can't force you to give it back. But lemora means that there's a chiyuv midine shamayim. Not all the rishonim agree with that in terms of the definition of the term lemora nitan. In the chidushim yuchasim l'ritva, he quotes in the name of the Bach lemora nitan v'lo li'shavon, that since he did tshuva on the lav of ribbis and he's a yerei Shemayim, now he doesn't have to return the money. Meaning that the way to do tshuva for Ribbis is standard tshuva for a Ben Adam L'makom. It's not like you would do tshuva by a Ben Adam L'chavero, where you'd have to actually return the item that you had taken from him. It's not really gezel. It's something that you would do tshuva for. That's L'mora Nitzan. The Ritva himself says, Mora Hashem, It should encourage a person not to take ribbis in the first place. But if he took ribbis, then it's not nitan leishavim, because he already violated the lav, and there's no way to fix it by ribbis. Even by returning it, it doesn't fix the lav, so he has to do tshuva on the avera. But that's lemora. Lemora means originally he should have had the mora not to do the ribbis in the first place. Now it's too late. Now all the mora in the world he wants to have is not going to help solve the problem of the ribbis that he had. But anyway, one of the ways of understanding this was the rivan, that lemora nitan means that to be latzei sidei shemayim, a person should return ribbis. Tosus himself is going to disagree with that as well. La halacha, he thinks that Rabbi Yochanan holds any yotze b'dayana means even latzei sidei shemayim, a person doesn't have to do anything. And the raya is going to be from the Gemara we're going to have today, where the Gemara is going to ask on Rabbi Yochanan from a brisa that malvei beribbis tshichem lahachzir, and the Gemara is going to say that it's machlokas tanoim whether it's yotze b'dayanim or not. Well, why is that brisa at all a challenge? Yeah, tshichem lahachzir maybe is latzei sidei shemayim, but it's not yotzei b'dayanim. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give that very simple answer, that yeah, tzrichem lachzer is to be latzei sidei shemayim, but there's no din b'dinei in Beis Din, so the fact that the Gemara doesn't give that answer must mean that it's incorrect, that there is no chiyuv even latzei sidei shemayim to return ribbis. Rava Amar, third possibility. Migufe dekrash miale. We learn from the pasuk itself. Mos yimav damav bo yiyah. So hukshu malvi ribis l'shovchei damin. That apparently we make a link between those who are malvi ribis and those who are shovchei damin. Ma shovchei damin lo nitnu li shavon. Av malvi ribis lo nitnu li shavon. Just like a person cannot fix the sin of committing murder, someone cannot fix, one cannot return malvei beribis. There is no, nothing is solved by returning malvei beribis. Fractosos, most in the bottom tosos of your tema, hechi mashmi damav ba aver de shvichas damim. Halo ba ovi yadonim v'kam aver slo shaychel shvichas damim k'siv demei ambam. Demei ambam or damav ba is a phrase that we use all over the Chumash, having nothing to do with murder per se. So how do we necessarily associate this with shvichas damim? It's true, you know, if you just translate the words, it sounds like murder, that blood, his blood, so it sounds like it's Shvichas Damim, but we use it by Ov, by Yedoni, by all sorts of fortune tellers and things like this that have nothing to do with murder whatsoever. So it says, these are extra words in the pasuk that we have nothing else to do with, meaning there is no connection, there's no obvious connection to make to Ovi Yadoni. The only obvious connection to make is that these extra words in the pasuk of Damav Bo relate to the literal translation, which is associated with Shvichas Damim. My time is Rabbi Lazar. We just gave three explanations for Rabbi Yochanan. Why Rabbi Yochanan holds that ribbis is not yotzei b'dayanim? Why does Rabbi Lazar hold it is yotzei b'dayanim? Damar kra v'chayachi chaymach. That the pasuk says you should make sure your brother can live with you, which means how do you make sure he can live with you? Give him the money back so that he can live, meaning you've taken away so much from him when you charged him ribbis. So that's what we learn from has a suffix. What happens if the lova dies? Meaning if the whole chiyuv of returning ribbis is because of they have to make sure he can live with you. What if he's no longer alive? So he has yorshim. Do you have a mitzvah to return the ribbis? Have a chiyuv to return the ribbis to the yarshim. If the whole thing is about v'chayach chichimach, quotes from the kolbo that you do have to return to the lova or to the yarshim, even to the yarshim. But it could be that's only when he wants to do a tshuva shlema. Can Beis Din be kofa that he returned to the yarshim? Dagum Ravav is not sure. Not Biuda and this Dagum Ravav and the Shulchan Aruch is not sure. The Chavis Da says that the tviya that the children of the lova has is the same thing as the Loved. They are the Loved. Now the Achicha is no longer the Loved. The Achicha is the children of the Loved. But certainly, that would still fit the category of Achei Achicha Yimach. I mean, they had less money to Yarshin now because their father died with this Ribbis debt. And Ramesha, Nechuvah, Negros Moshe, Yerdei Chel Gimel, also in Aruch Avdalit, says, Misvara, it seems like the Chavaz Das. That why would you say that it only applies to the Loved, not to the children? Misvara, it applies to the children. So Gemara says, okay, great, that's the source for Blazer, but Rabbi Yochanan, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the Pasuk? Is there any drasha to be made from this Pasuk? So Gemara says, yeah, a very famous one, actually. He uses it for what we learn in the following Braisa. There are two people that are traveling on the road. Let's imagine in a desert where there is no water supply. And one of them has a water bottle. If they both drink from it, if they share it, they're both going to die before they get to the closest city. But if one of them drinks the entire thing, he will survive and the other one will die. He will survive and he will make it to the Yishuv, he will make it to the closest city, the other fellow will not make it. Darish ben Paturus ben Patura Darshin Mutav Shishtu Shneim via Musu Val Yira Echmeim be Misash Shal Chavero. Better that they should share it and that they should both die rather than either one seeing the other one dying. What does that have to do with Vachay Achicha Yimach? Ad Shabar Rabbi Akiva Valime, till Rabbi Akiva came along and he taught that no, don't let them both die. Vachay Achicha Yimach. Your own life comes before Chayecha Vircha. If you're the one that happens to have the water bottle, you're the one that drinks it, your own life comes before anybody else's life. So a number of issues over here. First of all, the Lashon Darash Ben Petura implies that he's making some sort of drush, except we don't quote any Pasuk that Ben Petura is actually darshaning. So the Sifra actually has Ben Petura darshaning the Pasuk of Chayecha Yimach. That Yimach means that you're supposed to be together in this, and therefore whatever it takes, you know, you're together in life, you're together in death, you have to split everything evenly. That's his actual drasha from the pasuk of v'chei achicha yimach. So the both darshaning v'chei achicha yimach. Also the svara is difficult for Ben Patura because he can't fulfill v'chei achicha yimach, so you have to kill yourself, meaning you're not able to let the other guy live, so you have to kill yourself. So Minchas Chinuch explains that the svara of Ben Patura is that a person has to be moser nefesh in order to allow his friend to live, even though he's not the cause of his friend's death. But since he has the ability to save his friend, he has to do it even at the risk of his own life. And the reason you don't have to give all the water to your friend, meaning by that logic, you would think, so give it all to him, because then the chiyuv would just turn around on him, that he would have to give it all to you, because he also has a chiyuv to risk his own life in order to lose his own life in order to save you. So since each of you have a chiyuv to lose your own life to save the other guy, so that's how Ben Petura ends up with both people dying. Still very counterintuitive, but that's how he understands the chiyuv. Minchas Chinuch is mochiach from that, like Tosfos says in Sanhedrin, that if a person is forced, that they tell him, you have to let us throw you on a baby to kill the baby, or we're going to kill you. He doesn't have to be moser nefesh because he's not doing any maisa. He doesn't have to be matzil chavera with his own life because maichaz dami didachsum achtvei. Just like we don't know that your blood is any redder, we don't know that the baby's blood is any redder. And that's exactly Rabbi Akiva's point. I mean, Rabbi Akiva's point is, if it's not your fault, if you're not the one that's doing the maisa of killing the other person, well, then you don't have to die to save the other person. That's exactly what Tosfos holds, because Tosfos paskins like Rabbi Akiva. That's the Tosfos in Sanhedrin about being thrown onto the baby. That it's not you're not the one that's killing the baby. They're the one that the ones that are killing the baby by using you to as the weapon with which to kill the baby. So that's the klal that comes out according to Rabbi Akiva. And Minchas Chinuch also writes that it's got to be that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, because halacha Rabbi Akiva mechavero. Also the whole lashon implies that it's ad shadorish Rabbi Akiva. Everyone was under the impression that Ben Petura was correct until Rabbi Akiva said everything straight and he taught us that Ben Petura is not correct. All the achronim though are bothered, Karen Aru, the Binyan Sion, and others, why the Rambam leaves out this halacha entirely. He doesn't discuss it. He doesn't talk about the case at all. Not Ben Petura, not Rabbi Akiva, neither side. He leaves it out entirely. So Binyan Sion and Tshuvan Simkovai and Hei. Binyan Sion has several tshuvas, several consecutive tshuvas, all about Yaharik Valyava. Yavar, whether stealing money is Yarig Val Yavar, whether Albanas Pnei Chaveiro is Yarig Val Yavar, and several tshuvas where he discusses the inyanim of Yarig Val Yavar. So in Simon Kuf Ayin Hei, he writes that the Rambam holds that since we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, that Ribbis Ketzutza is Yotze B'dayanim, and that's derived from V'chei Achicha, so it can't be that V'chei Achicha teaches us Chayecha Kodmin like Rabbi Akiva says. So that's why he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but he also doesn't paskin like Ben Petura, because Ben Petura was just saying in Misvara, and we don't have any Raya to Ben Petura. He understands that Torah Ben Petura is not based on the pasuk of V'chei Achicha Imach, that it was just Stam, it was a Svara. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, so Rambam didn't know where to go with this, so he left it out. A little bit strange. That's not really the style of the Rambam, to just say both Tanoim are wrong, and therefore I'm going to leave it, you know, that we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva because we already use V'chei Achicha Imach, and Rabbi Akiva didn't like Ben Petura's Svara, so they're both wrong. Someone's got to be right in the Machlokas Tanoim, but that's what the Binyan Sion suggests. Also, the assumption that he makes, that if you learn V'chei Achicha Imach to teach us Ribbis Ketzutza, that you can't also use it to teach where Rabbi Akiva's teaching over here, not so clear. The Rush says that there's enough room in the Pasuk to learn both dinim, that V'chei Achicha Imach is telling us a klal that within those words you can derive several dinim. You can derive the din of Ribbis Ketzutza, and you can derive this din. What? Yeah, we do that often. Lav Shebechlalos is an example of where you have such an idea that there's a pasuk that includes many different ideas. Chazanish discusses, what about the following case? What if it's not that you have a canteen of water and it's either you or the other person? You happen to be well hydrated. You're not going to die no matter what. You're perfectly fine. And you have a canteen of water, and there are two other people that are not well hydrated. And if they share it, they're both going to die. Who do you give it to? Do you give it to one of them? How do you deal with that situation? So the Chazanish says it's Tali the Machlokes, Ben Petura and Rabbi Akiva. Same thing, he says. That according to Ben Petura, you should make them split it and they will both die. And according to Rabbi Akiva, give it to whichever one you want to give it to. Or once you've already exhausted the Dine Kedima that we have at the end of Horios of a Kohen Kadam Levi and all the rest, you know, Ish Kadam Lisha, all the normal Dine Kedima. So once you've exhausted those, so then you would just give it to whoever you want. In the Sefer Piskei Tshuva, he says, in the name of his grandfather who had the same suffix, and he says, no, even Rabbi Akiva would say that you give it to both of them in this case, because there's no longer a sort of chayecha kodmim, meaning if the actor over here is not, the person who has the water over here, is not, it's not his chayim, so you can't say chayecha kodmim anymore. Once you can't say chayecha kodmim, so then you have to go back to Svara, and Svara is like Ben Petura. One could argue with that. What do you mean Svara is like Ben Petura? Not necessarily, but Ben Petura had this svara, but it's not necessarily so pashut that the svara is no senes like Ben Petura. They also discuss how we reconcile chayecha kodmin with v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. The Ramban writes already that v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha cannot be taken literally. Because what does that mean? It means every time that I want to buy myself a new jacket, so I should buy every other Jew on earth a new jacket, if I really love them all, the same as I love myself. I should buy every time I buy a new car, everyone gets a new car. So no, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha has to be limited. And so we can't all be Oprah, right? It has to be limited in some way that you're not going to share with that it's not going to be like everybody. So the chayecha kodmin v'avta l'reacha kamocha means that you should love him in a way like you love yourself, and that you should want all those things for him, but not that you actually have to do all those things for him when it comes l'maisa. So chayecha kodmin l'chaye chavircha. Rav Shachter often points out that v'avta l'reacha kamocha is a reciprocal relationship, that you have to do for others what they're expected to do for you. That's v'avta l'reacha. That's what it means. That you should love him. That you should love him the same way that he's obligated to love you. And that's. But it doesn't mean that everything that you have to work could also relate to what you're not allowed to do to him. You can't do anything that's bad to another person. But chayecha kodmim, to take care of your own life, that's still going to be the klal. Okay. So now the Gemara starts challenging. We have this machlokas. Is ribis ketzutza yotze b'dayanim or is it not yotze b'dayanim? Meisvei hiniach lemaviyah mo'ush shel ribis. A father leaves over for the children children ribis money. Even though the kids know that it's ribis money, they don't have to return it. But the implication is that if the father were still alive, he would have to return it. So don't you see that ribis ktsutzos yotzi b'dayanim? So says no, no, b'dinu davuanami l'mechayev la'achzir. Now the father wouldn't have to return it either. But since we want to introduce the sefer where it says if you have something that's very clearly marked off and defined as belonging to the father, that in such a case the children do have to return it for the covet of their father, so that's why we mentioned the ratio also with ribis as relating to the children. But in achinami, the same din would apply to the father. Just like the children don't have to return the ribis, the father also doesn't have to return the ribbis. But wait a second. And the Sefer talks about you have a cow that your father stole. You have an item that's very clear that everyone realizes doesn't belong to your father, that your father stole. You have to return it for what? For kavod aviv. V'hanim b'nei kavod aviyah mi mechayvi? Krikan v'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'ar. Bosa ma'isa'amcha. How can you say that you have to return something b'nei kavod aviv? The father's a ganav. The father stole it. So don't we have a general principle when it comes to these kinds of mitzvahs that it's also Maisa Amcha, that only if the person is an upstanding citizen, is an upstanding Jew, that's when you have a responsibility of Kavod? So shouldn't we say the same by Kibbut Av, that you have a Chiv of Kibbut Av? If your father's not a Rasha, if he's not a Gazlan, but I have to return the cow for his Kavod if he was a Rasha? So it says Mark, Damar Pinchas B'Shrei D'Rava B'Sha'asa Tshuva Hachanam B'Sha'asa Tshuva Ein Hachanami. If the father was a Rasha, you would not have to return it for his honor. But over here we're talking about where he did tshuva. So if he did tshuva, then you have to return it because now he's a tzaddik. Yeah, if he did such great tshuva, then why does he still have the stolen cow in his property when he died? If he did tshuva, then he shouldn't have had the stolen item in his property. He did tshuva, he was on his way to return it, and he suffered a fatal heart attack or something like that as he was about to return it. So he just didn't have the opportunity. He was ill, he couldn't do it. He didn't have the opportunity, but he wanted to. He was on his way. He was going to do it. So that's the that's what we're suggesting. But the maskar of the Gemara seems very clear that if the father is taka or rasha, then you have no chiyuv of kavod. The difficulty that they point out, the tour in Yerder Sim Reish Mem, asks the kash on the Rambam, the sixth paragraph of Mamrim, where the Rambam paskins that a mamzer is chayiv b'kvod aviv, even if his father was a rasha or balaveros. Meaning, how did the kid become a mamzer? It wasn't because his father was doing mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that the kid became a mamzer. So nevertheless, the mamzer is chayiv in the kavod of his father. So they ask that stira, that luchoritz against this Gemara, because over here we say that no, if the father's a Rasha, there's no chiv of kibud. So Shachter often points out that is based on the suffix Minchas Chinuch raises in mitzvah lamed gimel. Minchas Chinuch is not sure, is the mitzvah of kibud aveim a mitzvah ben adam lachavero, or is it a mitzvah ben adam lamakom? On the one hand, you would think ben adam lachavero because it relates to how you interact with other human beings. On the other hand, ben adam lamakom, it's on the ben adam lamakom side of the Aseres Hadibros. It's gimel shutfin yesh ba'ad. Them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gemara in Kiddushin says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you mechabed them, I consider it ki'ilu kibduni, as if you mechabed me. So in some sense, it's relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Minchas Chinuch is not sure. So Shachter suggests that it's both Ben Adam Lachavero and Ben Adam Lachavero. My nafkamina, between a mitzvah Ben Adam Lachavero and Ben Adam Lachavero, well, one nafkamina is if the person is dead. Well, then there's no longer a mitzvah Ben Adam Lachavero. Then any mitzvah that you're going to have is going to be Ben Adam Lachavero. Another nafkamina might be if the person is a Rasha. There might still be mitzvah ben adam lachavero with the person who's a Rasha, but God's not going to consider it as an honor to him when you're honoring Rashaim. And what if the person is a dead Rasha? Then you have neither. It's neither a mitzvah ben adam lachavero nor a mitzvah ben adam lachavero. So Shach says that's the whole pshat. The Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim that a mamzer is chayv in kibud av when the father's alive, because you may not have a mitzvah ben adam lamakom, but you have a mitzvah ben adam lachavero. Our Gemara is talking about it's aviv Rasha. And he's dead. So if he's a Rasha and he's dead, you no longer have Ben Adam Lachavero because he's dead. You no longer have Ben Adam Lamakom because he's a Rasha. So Mela, there's no mitzvah left. I told this over to Rav Asher Weiss. He thought the whole thing was wrong. He didn't like any part of it. He said, first of all, it's a Davar Pashut that Kibud Av V'Eim is a mitzvah Ben Adam Lachavero. He said, Kvod HaMinchas Chinuch B'Mekom HaMunach, but Minchas Chinuch Savik doesn't make any sense. He says he's viewing it in terms of what the Mechayev is and what. It's obvious. Anything that deals with another person is Biron L'Chavero. That's the whole Agdara of Biron L'Chavero. He says, Kibra Aveim is Pasha that it's Biron L'Chavero. So that's Aleph, he said. And Beis, he said, who says Biron L'Chavero? It doesn't apply after a person dies. Chesed Shalemis is Chesed Shosim Ben Mesim. Chesed Shalemis, L'Chor, is Biron L'Chavero. Rav Shechter, I've heard say many times, Chesed Shalemis is not Biron L'Chavero. That it's Shalemis because it's Ben Adam La'atzmo. That the Chesed Shalemis is that a person becomes a Chefta Shal Chesed, that he becomes Valachta Bidrachav, that he imitates the ways of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that even though he's not Mitzapel Tashlum Gumul, Mitzapel Tashlum Gumul is the Mechayev of Ben Adam L'Chavero. It's the reciprocity is the whole Mechayev of all Ben Adam L'Chaveros. Anytime you do Chesed and there is no reciprocity, that's Ben Adam La'atzmo, that's imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But anyway, so these two Gedolei Olam dispute this. I don't know how Rav Asher answers this kasha. I'm sure there are other answers. Says about Meisvei, the Gemara challenges further. HaGazlanin Umalvei Ribis Av Bishagavu Machzirin. Gazlanim and Malvei Ribis, even though they've already collected the money, they have to return it. Gazlanim, my afal pisha gavu ika. What do we mean? Even though they've collected by gazlanim, that doesn't make any sense because he gazl. If they've collected it, meaning stolen it, then they've stolen it, then they're gazlanim. And he lo gazlanim krisalu. And if they didn't collect it, that means they're not gazlanim. It means they didn't, what, because they thought in their mind, maybe I would steal something? They didn't do anything yet, so they're not gazlanim yet. So what does it mean, even though they collected? So we have to say is, we're not talking about two separate cases over here. Ele'ema gazlanim mainihu malve ribis Avul Bishagav Machzirin. Malve Ribis are considered a form of Gazlanim. So the Gazlanim that we're talking about are Malve Ribis. That Malve Ribis, even though they've collected it, they still have to return it. So bottom line is, don't you see this is a Raya, that when you collect Ribis Katsutza, it's Yotzi B'dayanim, you still have to return it? So says Gemara Tanayihi, nah, it's a Machlokes Tanayim. Detanya, Rabbi Nechem, Rabbi Lez ben Yaakov Potrin, as a Malve Vesa Arev, Mesheyesh ben Kumas say that Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov exempt the Malva and the cosigner because they have a kumase, meaning they don't get malkus because it's a lava nita klase. There's an easy way for them to fix it. My kumase, what's the way to fix it? La mishum darminilu kama haduru. Isn't it because they have a requirement to go and give the money back? Mechal de tanakama sarvelav bnei adurininu. So apparently the tanakama who disagrees with that thinks that they don't have to give the money back, that that it's not something that you could just return and fix the problem. So don't you see that it's a machlokes tanaim, whether you have to give the money back when you collect rivers or not? So look, my kumase, what does kumase mean? Maybe it doesn't mean giving the money back. Maybe it means lekro ashtara, to tear up the shtar, that before you've ever collected the money, and you've already violated the isser of making a ribis deal, where you lent the money with the understanding that the person's going to pay you back more, and you wrote a shtar for that. So you're already in violation of an isser before even collecting. Well, that isser, before you've actually collected, could still be fixed. Tear up the shtar, and then you could fix that isser. So, Micah Suffer, well, what exactly do we hold about this shtar? If we assume that a shtar that's actionable is considered as if it's already collected, then it's too late. The isser is already done. Tearing up the shtar is not going to help anything. That's the same as a hashava of that which is already collected. And if you don't have to be meshiv that which is already collected, then tearing up the shtar doesn't have to be done either. It's one and the same. But if it's not considered as if it's already collected, hello avid v'lo klum. Well, then tearing up the shtar really accomplishes nothing. I mean, you didn't do anything in the first place. You didn't violate anything yet. If all you have is a shtar. So says Mar Leon, Kasav Shtar Omid Ligvos, Lav Kagavi Dami. Really, a shtar that's Omid Ligvos is not considered as if it's already collected. Vahaka Mashmalan. The Summa Milsehi, that when you set up in advance that there's such a shtar, that's considered something significant. That the Hachinam Mistabran says the Gemara that it makes sense to assume this way. Ditnan, Ve'ilu Ovren Belosa say, who's in violation of the Yisra of Ribis when you have a Ribis deal? Hamalva, Valova, Haare, Va'edim, everyone involved, the borrower, the lender, the co-signers, the witnesses. Well, Bishlam Akulu Avid Maisa, Ela Edim Mayavid. Everyone else did a Maisa. But what about the Edim? What did they do exactly? Allah, Shamina Sum Milsi, Shamina. Must be that the effectuating a shtar is considered something. That's the Edim are the ones that make the shtar binding. So therefore, that's considered to be doing something. It's not an actual collection. It's not kugavui dami, but that's still considered to having. That's still considered as if you have done something. Now, on the line where we had said that it's a machlokes tanoim, whether you have to return ribbis or not. So Tosus points out, we pointed this out before. V'intomer d'ba gozal mashani d'magzir unlatsi sidei shemayim v'amaylo mashani nami hacha hachi. But why don't we say the same thing over here? Meaning, in Baba Kama, we raise the issue of latsi sidei shemayim, that sometimes there's an obligation. The context of there is esna nasra Torah filu ba'al imo, that there is an issur in the Torah that esnan zona is not allowed to be used for a carbon. Payment for a zona cannot be used to pay for a carbon. If you gave a goat to a zona for her services, she's not allowed to bring it as a carbon. What if a person was boel his own mother as the zona, and then he decides to pay her, he pays her with a goat? Can she use that esnan? So on the one hand, you would say, well, if he's boel his own mother, he's chayiv misa. So he's not chayiv the mammon anyway. Kam lebidrab mina. He doesn't have to pay her the money anyway. So whatever goat he's giving her, it's, you know, that has nothing do with the Chiv Mammon. That's Happy Mother's Day. It's Tam, a gift. This has nothing to do with anything. It's a Matana B'Alma. It's got nothing to do with the Esnan, so maybe that shouldn't be included. But no, Esnan Asatara Filu Ba'alima. Why? Because even by Kam Levi Dramine, you have a Chiv Latse Sidei Shemayim. And even though you're Pater from the Mammon, but if you want to be Yotse Sidei Shemayim, you would pay the Mammon. So, Fractosos, why don't we say the same thing over here? That when we quote sources that suggest that you're supposed to return the ribbis, that's not a Raya that it's Yotse B'dayanim, that's just a raya that it's latsi sidei shemayim, that's the right thing to do. So that was the Tosa I was referring to before about how this maybe is a raya that there is no chiyuv latsi sidei shemayim when it comes to, if you hold that ribbis is not yotze b'dayanim, then it wouldn't even be a chiyuv of latsi sidei shemayim. Tosa suggests v'yeshlom b'dacha kamar alib d'Rabbi Yochanan d'idei d'amar eni yotze b'dayanim af latsi sidei shemayim eno tzorach l'achzir. There's no chiyuv even latsi sidei shemayim, and that's why we can't answer that. That's why we can't give that simple answer. Okay, says the Gemara further. Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra formulates a klal. Kol she'ilu b'dineim motziim malve milove lemalve b'dineinu machzirin mimalve lelove. That anything that if in dinim of the kochavim, where ribbis is a standard business practice, it's the normal way that everybody does business. So any time they would make the borrower pay the lender the money, so that would be considered something that we would call ribbis, that the lender would have to return that money back to the borrower. That's how we define real ribbis. Ribbis katsutza. We're working with the assumption that ribbis katsutza now is yotze b'dayanim, that you do have to return ribbis katsutza, but ribbis rabbanan is not yotze b'dayanim. So if you want to know, when is it yotze b'dayanim? If it's the kind of, what's ribbis katsutza? If it's the kind of thing that in the non-Jewish courts, they would make the borrower pay. That's ribbis katsutza. Anything that in the non-Jewish courts they would not make it the borrower pay in the first place, so that would be non-ribis katsutza, and therefore we would not make him pay it back. Is that rule really something that's always true? I'll give you a good example of ribbis de rabbanan that would be absolutely binding in a non-Jewish court. Asa'a b'sa'a. I lend you a sa'a of chitim, and the point is you're supposed to give me back in a month from now exactly one sa'a of chitim. The thing is, the price of chitim fluctuates. So a sa'a of chitim in a month from now may be worth a lot more than a sa'a of chitim is worth today. That's not ribbis de rabbanan. That's only ribbis de rabbanan. Would that be enforced in a non-Jewish court? Absolutely. I lend you X amount of wheat that you have to give me back. That's a fair deal that any justice system would recognize. So how can you say that anything that they would impose on you is considered to be ribbis katsutza? So I'm like, inu b'taris pikadon asaliyade. No, but they wouldn't even view that as a loan. They would view that as a pikadon, that I'm asking you to watch myself chitim, and you'll give me back a sa'av chitim. Ki'ilu, it's the same sa'av chitim. They view that as a pikadon, not even as a monetary loan. So that's why it wouldn't even enter the parsha of ribbis in their minds. Amalei Ravina the Ravashi, v'ayir mashkanto b'lo nachyasa, de b'dinei motzin milava l'malva, u b'dineinu ein machzirin mimal dalalove. What about if you have a case of mashkanta b'lonachyasu, which means I lend somebody money and I take as a mashko in his vineyard, and the deal is as long as I have his vineyard as a mashko, I'm allowed to eat from his vineyard. I keep taking all the grapes and using them. But it's not, we're not deducting any of the price of the grapes from the actual, from the money that he owes me. He owes me $1,000. He's still going to owe me $1,000 no matter how many grapes I eat. So in our book, that's ribis midrabanan, right? But the non-Jewish court would certainly make the person pay the full $1,000. So I thought anything that they would enforce is by definition ribis daraisa. So doesn't this fly in the face of that rule that Rav Safra had formulated? So it says Gemara, Amalei inu b'taris zvini asli adayim. No, they wouldn't view that as a loan and a ribis situation either. They would view that as a situation of a sale that you had you had sold the vineyard for that amount of time. Okay, well, once we're going to say everything that they would collect that doesn't conveniently fit Rav Safra's rule, oh no, they don't call that a loan. They call that pikadon. They call it a sale. They call it, so that, what's his, you know, his rule doesn't really seem to cover much. Meaning the idea that that anything that they would collect is ribis katsutza. So what's it? What's his chiddush? What's Rav Safra coming to tell us? So achi asal hashminan. He's coming to tell us the following. Anything that they would make the lova pay the malva, we would make the malva return to the lova. Mind you, ribis katsutza. That's so about ribis katsutza. And he's teaching me kedar blazer that we pass on like Rabbi Lazar, the ribis katsutza is in fact yotze b'dayanim against Rabbi Yochanan. That was the machlokas we dealt with in the whole Amud Aleph. What's he teaching me with that? That anything that they would not be motzi b'dayanim, we wouldn't have to return with our dinim? Well, that's ribis mukdames, ribis mucheres. That's referring to ribis mukdames and ribis mucheres. What does that mean, ribis mukdames? I give someone money, I give a potential lender money before a loan. I'm trying to get his business. I want him to lend me money, so I start giving him gifts in advance, hoping that he will be interested in lending me money later on. Ribis mucheres, ahakaras hatov. I already paid back the loan. I'm just giving ahakaras hatov. So I give him a gift because we have such a great relationship because he had loaned me money in the past. That is ribis mucheres. That's a tricky sugya we have to get into at some point. What exactly is a violation of it? 10 years later, I give somebody a gift because and he happened to have loaned me $10 a few years ago. So now it's going to be a violation of ribis mucheres. So there's got to be some gvul yesh bedaver. There has to be some boundary of what's considered ribis mucheres. But anyway, that's what Rav Safra is coming to teach me. Now the Mishnah then come up with this complicated case, and the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the case is all about. So the Mishnah had said, if you had the guy had given you a dinar zahav, which is 25 dinari kesef, with the understanding that he's going to get a kor chitim back, and the price of wheat has already been determined, and you'll pay, you'll give that kor chitim later on. By the time you're ready to give that kor chitim, the kor chitim is now worth 30 dinari kesef. It went up in value. And the fellow says, look, I want my kor chitim because I want to be able to buy wine with it. So you can say to him, the Mishnah says, that I'll give you the kor chitim. Well, you can't say to him, rather, midrabanan, it's a problem to say to him, instead of giving you the kor chitim, you want to buy wine with it anyway, I'll give you wine that's worth 30 dinari kesef. And that would be a violation, and ain't low, and you don't happen to have the wine right now. That would be a violation of ribis rabbanan. So ask Gemara, why do we need that last detail? V'chi ain't low yayin may havi. What difference does it make if he doesn't have the wine right now? V'atnan, in poskin al peros, ad sheyetze ashar, yatze ashar, poskin, avu pishein lezeh, yesh lezeh. That as long as the price for wine is already out there, so then it doesn't matter whether you have it or not, you have the ability to get it with that same amount of money. So why should it matter whether you have the wine or not? So the Gemara says, answer number one, Amar Rabba, Masisim Bebalach Bidmein Askinan. The Mishnah is talking about that the Mocher did not give the Lokeach the value of the Chitim that he has to pay him. He wanted to make the value of the Chitim a Chov, and to say, in place of that Chov, give me yayin. So since he never got money at all, you can't say that Yatza Hashar makes a difference. He never actually received money. So it's not like he, you know, the whole idea of Yatza Hashar is that you have the money anyway that he gave you, so you could have just immediately bought wine with that money right now because the prices are already set. But if he never actually gave you money, he just said, I owe you money, I'll give you money later, well then the Yatza Hashar doesn't make a difference. There's no money with which you could turn around and buy the wine. So it's a halva'a, and when the wine goes up in value and you give him wine based on the higher price, that's a violation of ribis. Who could detanya? Haresha yinosha b'chaver mana. Someone owes his friend mana. V'halach amin al grono. And he stands by the goren of the lova. V'omer, tein li ma'osai. And he says to the lova, give me the money. Shani rotza likach v'em chitim. Because I want to buy wheat, which happens to be very cheap right now. Amar lo chitim yesh li shani nosinach. I have wheat that I can give you for the chov. Tseva aseya like a shar. Come and give me the wheat that you could buy with this amount of money based on today's price, and we'll turn the chov into wheat. And I will provide you with that amount of wheat over the course of the next 12 months. So Asri, you're not allowed to do that, even though the price is already determined. Delavki, because you don't have any money. If you don't have any money to buy the wheat with right now, you couldn't buy the wheat right now, and therefore, when the wheat price fluctuates, it's not going to be okay. If the case is that he didn't have any money, so why does it have to say that ain lo yain? Even if he has wine, it should be usher to make this deal, because the price says that that he has chitim be'en, and still the price said it's problematic, even though the wheat was there. So even if you have the wine, l'chora, it would be a problem. So Abaye says that cannot be the pshat in our Mishnah. Ella amar Abaye says pshat is as follows. Masisin ketani Rav Safra b'ribis tmei Rav Chia. Ketani Rav Safra b'ribis tmei Rav Chia. It's like Rav Safra taught in Rav Chia's Beis Medrash when they were learning dinei ribis. Yesh rom shei mutar and vasur mnei aramas ribis. Sometimes something is mutar midaraisa, but it's asa midrabanan because of aramas ribis. Ketzad, amr lo alveni mana. A guy says, give me 25 slam to borrow. Amr lo mana ein li, chitin b'mana yesh li shani nosin lach. I don't have mana, I'll give you 25 slam worth of wheat. So he gives him 25 slam worth of wheat. And then the guy who just gave the 25 slam worth of wheat buys back the wheat for 24 slaim. Separate deal. I'm buying it back. Nothing to do with the fact that I gave him 25 slaim of wheat. And now he's still going to owe me 25 slaim for the wheat that he bought from me, but I just gave him 24 slaim for that wheat. So it's kilo, I'm giving him 24 slaim, and he's going to give me back 25. Mutter? Vasalasis came to Aramis Ribis. That's Mutamidar Raisa, but that would be a violation of Aramis Ribis. Achanami. Kigon to Amar Alveni Shoshim Dinarim. That's what's going on in the Mishnah. He says, give me 30 dinarim. Varmele Shoshim Dinarim. Ainli. Chitin Bishoshim Dinarim. Yeshli Shani Nelson Lach. I don't have 30 dinarim, but I can give you wheat of 30 dinarim. Nelson Chitin Bishoshim Dinarim. He gives him wheat 30 dinarim. Chazalach and Menu Bedino Zav. And he buys him back for 25 dinarim. Yes, the Chamer Lova Diav Levi Shoshim Dinar. If at the time that he paid him back, he had actual wine and that he could pay him peru the kashak l'minei. So then he's just getting back wine, less than, but that's no problem. V'ilo, but if he doesn't have actual wine, kibin de lesle chamra, v'adai mishkel zuzi minei. So then he's taking coins, he's taking actual money. Mechzi karibis. That's going to be a violation of haramas ribis. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Rava's four problems with Abaye's approach. Okay.